I call the House Finance Committee to order on Tuesday. It is Tuesday, March 5th, and it is 1:34 p.m. Today we have with us Representative Josephson, Representative Hannon, Representative Galvin, Representative Staff, Representative Cologne, Representative Ortez, Representative Frank, Representative Co-Chair Foster, Co-Chair Edgman, myself, Co-Chair Johnson. And we will be receiving subcommittee closeout reports today. We'll go through the reports grouped together by chair of each subcommittee, and legislative finance will be available for questions. We will begin with the Department of Law with Representative Cronk, and then continue with Representative Cronk for the Alaska court system. So Representative Cronk, if you would like, please bring yourself and your staff to the table and put yourself on the record and begin your presentation.
Thank you, Co-Chair Johnson, and members of the Finance Committee. I'm going to turn this over to my staff, Sue Stenklo.
Madam Chair, co-chairs, and members of the Finance Committee, thank you for the opportunity to bring this forward to you. My name is Sue Stancliffe for the record, and we will be reporting first for the courts, is that correct, or law?
We will be courts.
Okay, thank you.
Excuse me, we will begin with Department of Law.
Very good, we can do that. Okay. The House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Department of Law held two meetings and submits the following recommended operating budget for FY25 to the House Finance Committee. The subcommittee recommends the fund source in dollars are in thousands. The unrestricted general fund is $76,935,300. Designated general funds are $2,969,900. Other funds, $35,102,500. In federal funds, $2,307,100, for a total of $117,314,800. Compared to the FY25 adjusted base, the subcommittee recommendations represent an increase of $6,928,000 in unrestricted general funds, $774,900 in other funds, for a total increase of $7,702,900 all funds. Positions are 600 full-time positions, one part-time position, and 29 temporary positions for a total of 630 positions. The budget actions, after reviewing and discussing each of the governor's proposed transactions in detail, the subcommittee made the following changes adopted by unanimous consent. Criminal Division authorized 11 of the 23 requested paid internship for $277,700. Civil Division, the subcommittee authorized 17 of the 35 requested paid internships for $261,600. Civil Division reduced the temporary three-year increment for statehood events from $2,018,000 to $1,500,000 of UGF. Civil Division denied the fund source change in the governor's services allocation for regulation review, reducing it $448,000 of UGF and $400,048 in IA receipts. Highlights of the items accepted by the governor's or from the governor's updated requests include the Criminal Division funded 12 of the positions to address fiscal impact for the consent law changes in HB 325 from SLA 2022. That is $2,328,600 of UGF and 12 permanent full-time positions. Funded prosecutor and paralegal training academies, 100,000 UGF. Authorized 6 full-time investigators to assist with the domestic violence and sexual assault casework, $1,142,900 of UGF. Added an attorney and paralegal to assist with the rising drug prosecution caseloads, $397,000.5 of UGF. Added attorney and staff to assist with grand jury proceedings, that is $502,400 of UGF. Civil Division approved the requested budget structure change, consolidating 15 allocations to 5. Added attorney and paralegal for child protection cases in Fairbanks, $352,400 and 2 permanent full-time positions. Added positions and funding for consumer protection, $598,700 and 3 permanent full-time positions. Committee amendments, the chairman set an amendment deadline, welcomed amendments from all members, and the subcommittee received 2 amendments, neither were adopted. We didn't receive any amendments. Correction, Madam Chair, if I may. This committee did not receive amendments. My apologies. And the attached reports are the that were adopted are law agency totals, law transaction comparison, adjusted base to House subcommittee, and wordage. And that concludes my report from the subcommittee on the Department of Law.
Very good. Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair, I have a question about the number of positions added in the budget, and I'm going to exclude the interns. I know that that's 29, and I'm looking at the operating budget agency totals where it has at the bottom of page 1 permanent full-time, and we're showing an increase from adjusted base of 571 permanent full-time employees to 600, adding 29. There's another line with the temporary of the interns. Of those additional 29, as you spelled out in the highlights, I come up with 23 enumerated, 12 permanent full-time in law, 6 investigators domestic violence. So I'm looking for what those other 6 positions are from where you've enumerated them in both criminal and civil.
Certainly. Brief at ease, Madam Chair.
Brief at ease. Now it's back on the record. We're going to come back to the committee with some additional information to update for Representative Hannah's question. Anyone else? Okay, thank you, Representative Kronk. Now we are going to move on now to the Alaska court system. And Representative Kronk, you may begin your presentation. And Ms.
Stancliff.
Stancliff. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Sue Stancliff, staff to Representative Kronk. The House Finance Subcommittee for the Courts. The House Subcommittee for the Courts held a total of two meetings and submits the following recommended operating budget for the FY25 House Finance Committee. Recommendations are as follows. The fund source, unrestricted general fund, $140,690,200 in UGF, designated funds, $518,000, other funds, $2,530,000, federal dollars are $1,805,300. For a total of $145,543,500. Compared to the FY25 adjusted base, the subcommittee recommendations represent an increase of $2,991.9 in unrestricted general funds, and other funds is $525,000 federal funds for a total of $3,641,900 for an increase. Positions, Madam Chair, permanent full-time positions are 754, permanent part-time, 39 positions, and temporary positions are 6 for a total of 799 positions. Budget actions for the courts. After reviewing and discussing each of the governor's proposed transactions in detail, the subcommittee adopted all items by unanimous consent. Some of those highlights are in trial courts, visitor program, court visitor program, recent actuals and projections, 127,000 of GF. In trial courts, added three positions for monitoring guardianship appointments, education, and supportive help for guardians. That's 417,000 of general funds. Therapeutic courts authorized receipt authority for projects involving data collection, program evaluations, and case management improvements. Federal receipts are 375,000 with IA receipts of 125,000. Subcommittee amendments, we set the deadline and welcomed amendments from all members, but the committee received no amendments. Attached reports, the House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Judiciary adopted the attached reports, agency totals, transaction compare, adjusted base to the House Subcommittee, and the wordage report. That concludes my report for the court system, Madam Chair.
Are there any questions on the Alaska court system subcommittee report? Seeing none, thank you very much. We appreciate your presentation.
Thank you.
Next up, we have the University of Alaska with Representative Staff. Representative Staff, if you would, you and your staff, please come to the table and you may begin your presentation. Go ahead and put yourself on the record and your staff as well and begin your presentation.
Well, thank you, Madam Co-Chair. For the record, my name is Representative Staff. We'll be presenting the UA subcommittee budget, and I will now be turning this presentation over to my intern, Paul Minka.
Paul. Thank you. For the record, Paul Minka, intern for Representative Staff. Thank you, the House Finance Committee, for the opportunity to speak in front of you today. The report for the House Committee or House Finance Budget Subcommittee on the University of Alaska is as follows. The House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the University of Alaska held a total of 3 meetings. The subcommittee made a few changes to the governor's operating budget and submits the following recommended operating budget for the FY25 to the House Finance Committee. For recommendations on the fund source, there are $329,322,700 in unrestricted general funds, $313,545,400 in designated general funds, $75,530,500 in other funds, and for federal funds, there are $190,842,700 for a total of $909,241,300. Compared to the FY25 adjusted base, the subcommittee recommendations represent an increase of $14,781,100, or 4.7% in unrestricted general funds, a decrease of $1,585,100, or 0.5% in designated general funds, an increase of $20,000 in other funds, and no adjustment to federal funds for a total increase of $13,216,000, or 1.5%. For positions, we have 3,664 permanent full-time positions, 207 permanent part-time positions, and 0 temporary positions, for a total of 3,871 positions. Compared to the FY25 adjusted base, the subcommittee recommendations represent no change in permanent full-time positions, permanent part-time positions, or temporary positions. For a budget action, after reviewing and discussing each of the governor's proposed transactions, the subcommittee adopted all items in the budget action sheet by unanimous consent. Some of the highlights of these items are increased unrestricted general funding for fixed cost increases to $8,431,100, increased unrestricted general funding for faculty and staff compensation to $12,230,600, supported a $200,000 grant to the Alaska Center for Energy and Power to facilitate the Energy Education Working Group, the Carbon Capture, Utilization, and Storage Group, and the Hydrogen Working Group. We also declined the governor's proposal to reduce Alaska tuition assistance for Alaska National Guard and Naval Militia members. For subcommittee amendments, the chair set an amendment deadline and received 5 total amendments. After discussion, none of the amendments were adopted. And the House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the University of Alaska adopted the attached reports for agency totals, transaction compare adjusted base to House Subcom, and transaction compare gov amended to House Subcom. Thank you very much.
And if there's no questions for the committee, that concludes our overview of the UA Subcommittee budget.
Right. Do not see any questions. So thank you very much, Representative Stapp.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair.
Okay, next up we have the Department of Labor and Workforce Development with Representative Tomaszewski. And we will continue with Representative Tomaszewski for the Department of Environmental Conservation. Representative Tomaszewski, if you would, go ahead and you and your staff, if you'd like to put yourselves on the record, and you may begin your presentation.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. For the record, Representative Tomaszewski, and we are going to be presenting on the Budget Subcommittee for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. And I'm going to turn that over to my staff, Zach Young.
Welcome to House Finance.
For the record, Zach Young, staff representative from Tomaszewski. Thank you, members of the committee. The Department of Labor and Workforce Development, FY25 House Finance Budget Subcommittee and report is as follows. The House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development held a total of 3 meetings and made no changes to the governor's request or amended budget and submits the following recommended operating budget for the FY25 to the House Finance Committee. Recommendations are as follows. The fund source and dollars are annotated in thousands. For unrestricted general funds, $22,156,900. For designated general funds, 32 million $22,400. For other funds, $19,762,000. And for federal funds, $92,646,800. For a total of $166,588,000. Compared to the FY25 adjusted base, the subcommittee recommends to represent an increase of recommendations represent an increase of $535,000 or 2.5% in UGF and $1,631,000 or 5.4% in DGF and a $3 million decrease, $3,811,600 decrease in other funds with no change in federal funds for a total increase of $5,978,000 of all funds for an increase of 3.7%. For positions, the department has 680 permanent full-time, 43 permanent part-time, and 21 temporary for a total of 744. For our budget actions, after reviewing and discussing each of the governor's proposed transactions in detail, the subcommittee adopted all items. Some of the highlights included here are $437,800 in unrestricted general fund increment to reestablish the Office of Citizenship Assistance and reclass three vacant positions for that department. And then a $97,500 UGF increment to replace federal indirect revenues to maintain vocational rehabilitation administrative support. For subcommittee amendments, the chair set an amendment deadline, welcome amendments from all members, and the committee received no amendments. Under attached reports, the House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development adopted and attached these attached reports. Department of Labor and Workforce agency totals, the department transaction compare adjusted base to House subcommittee and wordage. And that concludes our presentation for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development.
Very nice. Representative Hanning.
Thank you, through the chair. I have one question, and it has to do with the federal indirect revenues for the vocational rehab. Under budget action highlights, it says we're adding the UGF, and I support that. But back on the front, it says there's no change in federal funds. So I guess I'm looking to figure out what the difference between federal funds and a decrease of federal indirect revenues is, whether those statements are in conflict.
So to my knowledge, and I might call Bauer and Rose up to help elaborate on this, but that increment was due to a vacancy factor in the department that basically made federal funds non-collectible within, and they had to have a stopgap so that they can fill those positions, and then those federal funds will become deductible. So I believe the authority is still there, but the UGF increment was in order to fill federal funds that were not able to be collected because of unfilled positions. So, is that accurate, Valerie?
Good afternoon. For the record, Valerie Rose, Legislative Fiscal Analyst. The statements made by Mr. Young are accurate.
So this is a, Madam Chair, a Schrodinger's cat physics. Both are true. We're not, there's no reduction, but we need an additional match to receive the revenue.
Through the Chair, Representative Hannon, this is not a match factor necessarily. Many of the positions within the Department of Labor are all or substantially federally funded, but in many cases, those programs have requirements about the direct service positions versus the administrative positions that are assisting in making the program run. And so at times, if there is a higher vacancy in those direct service positions that are fully federally funded with direct federal revenues, the indirect revenues cannot be collected for those administrative positions that are supporting those direct client services. And so they had requested a one-time increment of $97,500 as a stopgap for that loss of federal indirect revenue.
Thank you for the explanation. Thank you, Madam Chair. I support it. I want to make sure, because that voc rehab money, mostly federal, and pays us back bonuses by getting Alaskans back to work. But I.
So I'm not. Yeah, you're welcome. I'm not sure Schrodinger's cat. Schrodinger's cat was obviously there, and it took a walk, and it will come back. So.
So now he's back.
Yeah, it may come back. Yeah, that's right. The cat came back. Representative Staff.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Through the chair, to maybe Ms. Valerie Rose, but maybe not. Just question on the fund source 1054 for the increase in STEP grants. This $1.6 million increment for opportunities through STEP program based on available revenues. So is that like guaranteed authority for the increase, or is that all authority? Is that dependent on something? What exactly is that?
Through the chair, Representative Stapp, again, Valerie Rose for the record. For that item, it is my understanding that because those are revenues that are employee taxes that are collected, and then those are granted out through competitive grants, that fund sources, STEP, that these are available revenues that the department would like the authority to be able to expend for the purposes of those competitive grants.
Okay, just quick follow-up, Madam Co-Chair. So just quick follow-up. So my understanding would be basically we're not actually raising the wage tax on anybody. We just have – we collected more money because either these people are getting paid more money or we employ more people. Is that a fair assessment? Therefore, we have more money to give out in STEP grants.
Correct.
Thank you.
Very good. Is that any other questions? Seeing no additional questions, thank you. We will now move on to the Department of Environmental Conservation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Representative Tomaszewski, and we are going to present my staff. Zach Young is going to present on the Department of Environmental Conservation.
For the Department of Environmental Conservation FY25 House Finance Budget Subcommittee, the narrative report is as follows. The House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Department of Environmental Conservation held a total of 4 meetings, made no changes to the governor's request or amended budget, and submits the following recommended operating budget for fiscal year 25 to the House Finance Committee. Recommendations: fund source dollars are annotated here in thousands. The unrestricted general funds are $22,171,600. Designated general funds are $23,074,000. Other funds are $20,967,000. And federal funds are $41,785,900 for a total of $107,998,500. In comparison to the fiscal year 25 adjusted base, the subcommittee recommendations represent an increase of $125,000 or 0.6% in unrestricted general funds, $110,700 or a 0.5% increase in designated general funds, as well as a decrease of $110,700 in other funds and a decrease in federal funds of $1,918,100 or 4.4% for a total decrease of $1,793,100 or 1.6% of all funds. For positions, there are 546 permanent full-time, 0 permanent part-time, and 9 temporary for a total of 555. For budget action, after reviewing and discussing each of the governor's proposed transactions in detail, the subcommittee adopted all items. Some of the highlights of these items are $125,000 in UGF increment to replace Fed receipts for building maintenance of the air lab, and $110,700 of designated funds increment to replace other uncollectible receipts. Outside of this narrative, I will also note there was an $87,500 increment on the original governor's budget request. That is not reflected here because it was moved in the governor's amend to fiscal year 24 so they can make more progress in the next coming months to move that air lab here in Juneau. The subcommittee amendments, the chair set an amendment deadline, welcomed amendments from all members, and the committee received no amendments. The attached reports, the House Finance Budget Subcommittee for the Department of Environmental Conservation adopted the attached reports, the DEC agency totals, the DEC transaction repair adjusted base plus to the House Finance Subcommittee, and the wordage. And that concludes our presentation for the Department of Environmental Conservation Budget Subcommittee.
Do you have any questions on the Department of Environmental Conservation Subcommittee report? Representative Dortez.
Thank you, Madam Chair, through the Chair. Can you tell me under the category of other funds, because it looks like it makes up about 17% of your total funds that's collected, what kind of things go into the category of other funds? What kind of sources are we talking about?
So other funds is a somewhat catch-all term for interagency receipts. I think that's a vast majority of the things. Any other collectible revenue that's not federal and not state UGF or DGF is going to fall into that catch-all term. I do believe that the vast majority of that comes from interagency receipts. I would have to get back to you with specific information if you wanted that.
Follow-up? Representative Tomaszewski, you recall that one of the questions I asked at the subcommittee level had to do with Fund Code 1205, Ocean Ranger Fund, and where that money is being spent. It looks like there's about $2.1 million of those funds that are part of the other funds. Were you able to get any update as to how those funds? I haven't been able to. Have you been able to get any information as to how those funds are being used?
We don't have an update on that at this time.
Okay. Sorry, we haven't had that update, and we'll get that information to you as soon as they provide it.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. And if you would provide that to us, so when we're working on the finance CS, that we'll have that, make that our deadline, I guess, for it. That would be great. All right, very good. Any additional committee discussion before we conclude this meeting? Seeing none, our next meeting is Wednesday, March 6th at 8:30 a.m. At that time, we'll be receiving a budget overview on the FY 25 proposed budget for the Department of Natural Resources. And seeing no additional business before the committee, at 2:08, we are adjourned.